So when they called me back for the fifth surgery, I said, never am I coming back to you. I will figure this out. And I forgot about it. It had a cascading effect on everything else in my life. My confidence went down, my, you know, body posture, the way I speak, everything went down, and I started making bad decisions in my life.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dimple Jangra. I'm your podcast host, and I welcome you to A Gut Story. This is a podcast, a platform where we're going to discuss healthy everything. A healthy body, healthy mind, healthy emotion, healthy energetics, and a healthy spiritual journey. We're going to also discuss stories of courage, grit, confidence, discipline, and patience that helped several people overcome tragic events in their life and physical trauma. And we're also going to learn from several natural sciences like Ayurveda, naturopathy, homeopathy, yoga, on how to reset our body back to good health and bring ourselves back closer to nature. Welcome to A Gut Story with yours truly, Dr. Dimple.
So, you know, for the longest time, I was hesitating to share my personal stories. I keep it very private. I keep it because I'm like, nobody wants to hear my soft story. I don't want to hear it myself. Forget others, you know. So I was hesitating for the longest time. And I think some dear friends, I felt confident and comfortable enough to tell them a few things. I like keeping my life under a tight wrap, and people would never know what's happening inside me. So that's how I've always, like, you know, raised myself in the last, I think, 20 years, ever since I left home. But when I started writing the book, you know, the editor was like, nobody wants to believe you're a health coach. Why should they believe you're a health coach? So I'm not a medical doctor. I don't have a medical degree or a BMS or an MDA in Ayurveda. What I have is a PhD, a research-based honorary doctorate and a PhD now for my research on Ayurveda, for bridging that gap, you know, and for just, what do you call it, translating Ayurveda into modern language. That's what I was doing all these 6 years. And she said, there has to be a chapter about your life. Tell us what made you start it. So I was born with epilepsy, and I guess it was more difficult for my mother than for me. You know, it's very easy for me to say the story, but she lived the trauma. You know, we think it's happening to us, but it's actually happening to our parents. The diseases that you suffer is affecting your parents. And, you know, this is what people miss out. You know, you're sympathizing and empathizing with the person who's suffering, but what about the person who's caregiver? Until they have nothing left for themselves. Right? And this is what mothers do. They are giving and giving and giving to their children, you know? And what do they have after 20 years? All they want is love. They're not asking for anything else. So I had a lot of challenges when I was born. I had epilepsy when I was born. And my sister also developed epilepsy when she was born, where we would just collapse in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, eyes would roll up and our body would become very stiffened. The doctors couldn't find answers to it. My dad didn't have the money at that point in time to take us to so many expensive, you know, consultations and scans, but he would still take us for whatever was possible. And the doctors would guilt trip them into spending more, but for the wrong things. So that started, I've written, you know, 50,000 words, so I will keep it brief, but it was epilepsy first, then it was replaced with severe migraines, and I had a cancer scare when I was 16 years old, and I thought I was going to die, so I didn't bother telling my parents. 6 months later, it became out of control, then I had to be rushed to the hospital. Luckily for me, it was, you know, benign tumors in my body, but I had to undergo surgery, radiation, not chemotherapy, but some amount of radiations and needle biopsies and stuff like that. And that was normal for me, to be in pain, to be cut open. So when they called me back for the fifth surgery, I said, never am I coming back to you. I will figure this out. And I forgot about it. It had a cascading effect on everything else in my life. My confidence went down, my, you know, body posture, the way I speak, everything went down, and I started making bad decisions in my life. Then a series of events happened in my family. We lost two uncles and a grandmother overnight in a matter of a few weeks. And my dad was in the hospital for an open heart surgery. So we thought we were going to lose him as well. That led to another cascading effect of poor decisions in my life. I ended up in an abusive marriage, and then they had to rescue me out of it. 2 years later, you know, my grandfather had to break a lot of rules in the society. He had to hear so many horrible things from the society saying, what kind of a grandfather are you? But he defied all laws and got me out. He said, no, my granddad doesn't stay there. It's one little thing. It started with bad health. It started with maybe a challenging pregnancy for my mother, maybe a challenging environment. You see that cascading domino effect it had on everything else. And then when I turned 33, I said, okay, I'm done. I'm done being an investment banker for the society or for my bank balance. I'm done being a TV producer, a TV reporter. I need to figure out, why do I exist? There must be a reason that the universe has planted us here in this era, in this year, for us to witness COVID. There must be a reason why the universe chose us to go through COVID.
Yeah.
Right? So what is the lesson that we learned? And I took a sabbatical. I took my money out. I gave it to my father. I said, just give me some interest rate. And I was living off my savings and interest rate. I lived a very rich life traveling around the world. And I was looking for answers for questions I didn't know I had. So that's even more difficult because I'm looking for answers, but I don't know what the question is. So I said, okay, dear universe, you know, I'm done making bucket lists because you've been so kind. Every time I wrote a bucket list, every single thing came true. Like I was destiny's favorite child. So I was like, you know what? You've been so kind to me. My bucket list has come true twice. And it was a detailed, minute, well-defined bucket list where I knew exactly what I wanted and I got exactly what I asked for. And this time I said, dear universe, why don't you tell me what you want? And I'll make sure I'll work hard and make it come true. You tell me what you want out of me. Tell me a reason why I exist. And why did I have to go through what I went through? There must be a story behind it, right? God, I wish I hadn't said that, but I said it and the epiphany hit me and I got into healthcare. And when I started the clinic, there were nights I woke up sweating, saying, what have I done to my life? I threw all my money into this clinic and I used to walk on Wall Street in a nice, crisp, white blazer. And now I'm standing at farmer's market, sweating like a pig, distributing pamphlets like a newspaper wala, begging people to listen to me. I was distributing pamphlets for 2 years, every Sunday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., eating cake for lunch because I had enough time only to eat cake. And I'd be like, can I tell you a little bit about Ayurveda? Can I tell you a little bit about Ayurveda? The whites, the foreigners, the expats, they listen to me. The Indians, they abuse me. And one day, they abused me so bad, I burst out crying. I said, I am done with this career. And I was like, all my money has gone into it. Now, what do I do? You know? So I knew that this is my last stop because I put everything in it and there was no turning back. There were times I wanted to give up and I'm so glad I didn't. And I'm so glad the universe had my back or my parents had my back. They said, do what you want. Live your life. We will take care of the rest. And this is what I've put in chapter one, how this happened to me. And trust me, you, when I say this from personal experience, health is the beginning of happiness. This will give me happiness. That will give me happiness. This relationship will give me happiness. Let me tell you, nobody's responsible for your happiness. Not your wife, not your husband, not your children, not your parents. I'm so sorry to say this. You are responsible for your happiness. And just like that, you are responsible for your health and disease. You can't just wake up one day and say, oh God, why did you do this to me? Why am I getting my gallbladder removed? Why do I have cancer? I'm so sorry you did this to yourself. And this is the first thing I say to my patients and they burst out crying first. That's our first step to break them open and make them realize where the trouble started. And the minute they realize, they eat the medicines, they follow the diet, they do the treatment. But the minute you crack that coconut open, you have sweet, tender coconut water. And the tears flow out of the eyes and then they wrap up everything that we're giving in the clinic. They take it, they said, I'm going to change my life. So this is how I think it also happened with our lawyer friend. I started scratching him under the surface. I said, tell me more. And we shared lunch. I always carry this big lunch box to the clinic. And that's how your mother, if you remember me saying that, keeps the family together by cooking delicacies.
Yes.
The matriarch.
Annapurna.
The matriarch. Yes. They are subtly holding the family together with the food. Uh-huh. No?
Yeah, absolutely. So few triggers, few interesting thoughts went through my head. Some of you who read about me, know that I research and practice Ikigai. Ikigai is purpose of life. So when you said, why am I here? This is a very interesting Ikigai story. If we look back at what Dimple just narrated, there is a time in everybody's life, today or maybe when you're 99 years, or it happened to you when you were 10 years old if you were fortunate, when everybody asks a question, particularly in midlife, where we ask ourselves this question, who am I, why am I here? It really, the answer may not be what you're doing at that point of time. You may be a very successful entrepreneur, you may be running a successful export business, you could be in financial services, fintech, but this is not where you were meant to be. It is just circumstances and opportunities which got you there. And obviously we have to live and well in this material world. But what is our core? What were we meant to be? Second thing, Dimple, there are triggers in our past for what we are. Our why can only be answered once we study our triggers. So Dimple's triggers, were her health concerns, during her childhood. So there are so many, such stories I've come across, during my travels, 2017, when I traveled to Okinawa, the center of longevity, And there's a very beautiful program on Netflix, Live 200. You know, so it actually takes you into homes of people and, you know, people living healthy 200. You know, and Ayurveda, interestingly, Dimple, the first chapter of Ayurveda, I believe, says that human body is designed to live 200.
Yes.
It's only by our own abuse and misuse that we end up reducing our lifespan.
Well said.
And you know, this is the concept we have also taken into our financial planning business. By default, I'll give you an example. When I was in my 20s and learning the concept of financial planning, traveling to US, I used to myself sit and make plans for clients. We used to, if I can say it in Hindi, we used to say, aapko paisa kitna chahiye retirement pe, wo kehne ke 1 crore mil jaye to accha hai. That time, you know, that's a long time ago. That's a good amount. आप मंथली कितना लगा सकते हैं, पीपल आर क्लियर अबाउट एवरीथिंग. इन्फ्लेशन लगा दो, 4-6% लिख दो, यू नो, यू आर फिलिंग आउट अ क्वेश्चनेयर ऑन अ कंप्यूटर. सर आपकी एज एक्सपेक्टेंसी क्या लिखे, व्हाट इज योर एज एक्सपेक्टेंसी, पीपल यू से कुछ भी भर दो. आई मीन जस्ट इमेजिन, कुछ भी भर दो. आई मीन यू नो, एंड इफ आई विश आई न्यू आयुर्वेदा एट दैट टाइम, आई वुड हैव सेड लिसन, आयुर्वेदा सेज, यू नो, आयुर्वेदा सेज ह्यूमन बॉडी इज डिजाइन टू लिव 200. And now modern science is making it possible for people to live today. I have people who call me and tell me that I would like you to coach my parents on Ikigai.
Yeah.
Because they have everything in life, but they don't have a purpose. So I want them to know their Ikigai. I want them, my parents, to live 225 years. Through modern science, I'll ensure they have all the facilities. But I need them to have a purpose, otherwise they will not live long. And this is what, you know, because the research which Dan Buettner, the, you know, the author of that show on Netflix, the research he's done, put in on ground, is that knowing your purpose of life ends up adding a good 10-15 years, healthy years to your life, because you have something to wake up for every morning, which is Ikigai. So that, you know, there is a very definitive connection. So what, you know, it has, where it has brought us today is very interesting. You know, other day I was sitting with my marketing head and I said, the most popular concept in wealth management is SIP. So systematic investment plan, where you invest a small amount for your, you know, for accumulating wealth. And you intend to invest it for a very long period of time so that you accumulate good amount of money. So it's a daily systematic investment, or you're putting a monthly installment into your wealth. So I thought Ayurveda is also an SIP. It is a systematic investment plan in your health. So that is the convergence of health, wealth and longevity. You know, all these conversations happen on our dining table. Anu's, oh, because I have done Ikigai for my family to their reluctance. But so Anu realized that, you know, her, while she runs an art gallery, but her true Ikigai is health and wellness. So she ended up going to Thailand recently. And earlier she got an online certification. Now she's just done a 1 month program and got the 200 hour yoga certification, because that's her true, that's what elevates her spirit. And what elevates your spirit also becomes your reason for living and improves your emotional health, and your story also connects back. So just to round up that point I started about the wealth sip and health sip. So my son has started this platform called personalnutrition.com, and it is actually Dimple, as you were saying, he wants to target youngsters, people in his age group, mid-20s. If he says Ayurveda, Vata, Pitta, Kapha, everybody is going to run away. We have a mindset.
Switch off.
They'll switch off. So there is no mention of Ayurveda, but it's a Ayurveda-backed analytics platform. It is asking you questions. You go on the platform. It asks you questions about your health personality and what are the disorders you have, and whatever question a doctor would ask you physically. Then they ask you for a picture of your tongue. Ayurvedic doctor assesses it at the back end, and they in 48 hours they send you a personal health report, which means what is your gut score out of 100, what is your current gut score, what foods should you eat more of, what should you moderate, what you should eat less, what sort of exercise is good for you. In yoga, what sort of postures are better for you.
Yes.
So going to that level. So if you, but the main problem, how, who will follow it? So it is, so there's a lot of education which is required, that what is written on the report. Report is not just for your mail. You open the report, you follow it. Just like you continue your SIP every month. It's no good if you break it after a year, and during COVID, you are uncertain about your financial future. 25% of total SIPs in India went on pause. Some people may have needed the money, but many people just got nervous and braked it. And something happens and some wedding happens in the family. What do? You break your SIP. That is the biggest cross on your journey to wealth creation. But on the journey to health creation,
yeah,
one needs to have daily routine. In Ayurveda, it's called Dinacharya.
Totally.
And you follow that daily rhythm and daily routine and keep investing. And guess what? I wanted my six-pack to start showing, if that is my endeavor. Right now, it is 3 inches under. But I still have a six-pack. Maybe it will start showing. That is in a lighter vein. But my definition of vitality is that I should feel energetic till the end of the day. So I have traveled from Gurgaon, 1 hour, 15 minutes to be here. Am I feeling energetic? Yes. Today, for last 3 nights, Dimple, I am sleeping 1 hour longer than I usually do. So I'm sleeping 8 hours. I do have some embedded stress in my mind of an important meeting coming up on Saturday. So it is affecting me.
Yeah.
I'm thinking all the time. And my sleep hours are affected. And I'm not as on top of my energy levels, but I'm still good.
Yeah.
So yesterday, you know, we had a Diwali get together to go to, and it is very unusual for my wife. You know, she said, I'm ready to go. I said, I'm not up to it. My mantras, you know, how do you measure health?
Yeah.
Wealth to seedha measure ho jati hai. How do you measure good health? And it's not about your BMI and your weight and your six pack and all of that, your physical appearance, but your true health, you know, your spiritual health and your emotional health. So my whatever little learnings I've had, I would like to be walking here and now. Every day should be full of energy and vitality, because what is the lifespan? I mean, this is what I share with friends. Till the age of 20, we are finding ourselves, and after 70, we start risk managing ki cheeze kharab na ho. So it's about 50 years. And Alok, you know, we discuss this often. 50 years is your total lifespan if you lead a full life. And usme se bhi, out of 365 days a year, 30 days COVID or some flu or something puts you down. And another 30 days you're attending weddings which are not important. So 300 relevant days. Now people are good at math. 300 multiplied by 50. What is the total lifespan? Kitna ba hua? 15,000 days of life. That is total life. That is it. And how much of it is gone? Bacha kitna hai? 5,000, 7,000, 8,000. What is left? Now can we be feeling vital each day, rest of our living life? I mean, and shouldn't we look at our ancient practice of Ayurveda? Oh, come on. I mean, being mental slave, there's a limit to be a mental slave.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, Britishers left 75 plus years ago. Kudos to our Prime Minister for the way he's promoting yoga and health. And,
millions,
you know, that emphasis
Ayurveda
has been brilliant over the last 10 years. I mean, people have, you know, their views. And I don't want to make this a political discussion. What could have been better? What is not better? But in this space, a phenomenal job has been done.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and just putting India on the world map, and wherever you go, you know, for example, my wife, whenever she tells anybody, I did my, you know, yoga certification in Koh Samui in Thailand, we said, why in Thailand? Why not in Rishikesh? And, you know, this is where people come. This is where we come.
Yeah.
And in, you know, I've been going for cricket matches, went to Ahmedabad. So I met this very fit guy. I complimented him. I said, you know, I just wanted to compliment you, you know, that you carry yourself so well. He says, thank you. And he said, I'm a yoga teacher. I've come from Argentina. So I said, you haven't come for the match, obviously. You're from Argentina. He says, no, I won't come for the match. I've come for, I'm going to some Gujarat village and for some Ayurvedic yoga practice. So this is where somebody from Argentina with his wife has come and is going to somewhere in rural Gujarat to practice Ayurveda and yoga. So this is the commitment.
Absolutely.
So Dimple, so many reflections I've given about the state of Ayurveda and awareness. Your thoughts, please.
I love how you've broken down health into SIPs. Small investments on a daily basis. This is so powerful. Okay. And when he said that, it just was like, you know, it was a revelation. We wake up and we're like this horse that's running from here, running there. Always. And the phone is literally a black hole. A black hole that sucks you in. It sucks life from you to build its lifespan. If we didn't give so much attention to, say, Instagram, will it have this lifespan that it has right now, that popularity that it has now? It is building on the number of hours from your life you've given it, right? Now, of course, you know, scrolling has become a new addiction now. It's worse than drug addiction right now. You start scrolling and you don't know when 1 hour has passed away. You don't remember because it's a black hole that sucks your life and energy in. But can we at least commit that when we wake up in the morning, we will not touch our phone at least till 9 o'clock. Trust me, there's no emergency. Nobody needs you. Nobody needs you. I tell my clinic, Baba, mujhe phone mat karna, teri naukri jayegi. Okay? Even if the clinic is on fire, God forbid, call the fireman. Don't call me. I can't do anything. Okay? So this is literally the answer that I have. Don't call me. We'll finish all the work. And last minute reminder, set it up before 11 and be done so that the ball starts rolling on its own. Wake up in the morning, get off your bed, clean yourself, take a cold shower if you can. This literally saved my life. I would wake up at 3:45 when I was in the middle of a crisis. I was in a house arrest, you know, in an abusive relationship, and I couldn't leave and I didn't have access to the phone to tell my parents where I was or what I was doing or if I was safe. This is one little trick that really helped me. There were days when I couldn't meditate. I would close my eyes and there were 1,000 conflicts in the head. You know, your mind has 60,000 thoughts per day, 60,000 thoughts. That's a normal mind. An anxious mind probably has 120,000 thoughts. That's anxiety, overthinking, stress, depression, bipolar disorder. We've got so many diseases for the mind alone now. There were days when it was difficult to control the mind. And there were days, I still relish that, where I would close my eyes at 4 o'clock and open my eyes and it was 6 o'clock already. And I was like, it was one blink. Where did it go? But the rest of the day, everything happened based on what I wanted. Now, the problem is our lifespan is 100, thanks to modern science, right? Our lifespan is 100, but our health span, unfortunately, has become 30, 40, 50. That means that we have a lot of complex diseases in our body. Children are now born with autism there. There's an increased rate of autism. Why? Because the number of vaccines that they've been injected with, 72 plus vaccines are recommended by the CDC for the age of 7. That is almost 1,000 milligrams of aluminium inside the body. Now, adults who had a normal life up to the age of 20, 22 are suddenly getting diagnosed with autism. Unfortunately, that is a land of pharma. That is a land of Western science. But you have to understand the relationship. Pharma is not bad. Modern medicine is not bad. But they're complementary medicine that you use when in danger, heart attack, fracture, car accident. You need that to bring you back to life quickly. But once you've come back, you need to go into a preventive healthcare lifestyle. Right? So that's what you need to understand. Only 2.4% of the people in the US are healthy, and they're now looking towards Eastern science for answers.
Yeah.
And you were born in the land of yoga, Ayurveda, naturopathy, homeopathy. This country gave the world zero. Without zero, the financial market wouldn't exist. We were the first ones to put, spaceship on the South Pole of Moon, right?
Yes.
What are we? We are the largest country of the youngest population. 1.5 billion people. We dominate the world. Service to humanity. This is what my grandfather said to me again and again and again. And that's what I took as my mantra. And it helped me come out of darkness into light. We all go through darkness in different forms. You know, everybody goes through trouble. There's not a single person in this world who's not been through some kind of trauma. Or some kind of pain or devastation or heartbreak. It's impossible. This is Kali Yuga, right? He would repeatedly say, service to humanity is a rent you pay to live on this planet. If you've not paid your dues, it'll come knocking on your door one day and you will not be in a position to pay them. So pay it every day. Pay it forward. Invest in your health, SIPs, and then pay it forward to the next person sitting next to you saying, hey, guess what? You know, today I learned something. that we shouldn't mix fruits with milk. You know, we spoke about it, eat it alone or leave it alone. You know, grapes and milk, if you mix it, it can cause instant death in an infant.
Yeah.
Instant death in an infant. Grapes and milk is so poisonous. There's an increased risk of psoriasis, eczema, rosacea, urticaria. I, in fact, had urticaria. It's triggered due to wrong combinations of foods, and no other science was able to answer that except Ayurveda. Wrong combinations of foods gets triggered in the form of toxins. They get undigested metabolic waste getting accumulated in your body, which then gets leaked into the bloodstream, and then the body pushes it towards the surface of the skin, hoping to push it out through the pores in the form of sweat, and they get accumulated because you're too big, thus triggering skin diseases. You have to be conscious on a daily basis. What is on my plate? What am I eating? What time did I wake up? What did I do? What is the first thing I do? Do I grab my phone and look at social media and look at what other person is doing? Or shall I just meditate on myself first and listen to my body? Listen to the answers. Listen to the messages coming from your body. Your body is probably saying, today I want to fast. I don't want to eat food. Can you please not eat food? Our body is literally begging us. Can you give me one day in a week as a holiday? Don't you all have a Saturday and a Sunday holiday? Then why does the body not get rest? That's why Indians came up with this Monday fasting, Tuesday fasting, Thursday fasting. Give rest to your digestive health. Give rest to your body. Fasting is one of the most powerful things. I've spoken very briefly about fasting in this, but I know it's my next book, The Power of Fasting for Every Disease. I have friends who reverse cancer using just fasting and nutrition, where chemotherapy failed, radiation failed, fasting helped. And this is a land you were born in.
Hey guys, if you like this episode, don't forget to leave a comment below so we can learn how to improve ourselves. Like, subscribe, and definitely share this with your loved ones, your friends, family, and relatives so you can become an influencer of good health in their lives. Until my next episode, here's wishing you unconditional happiness, love, forgiveness, kindness, empathy, compassion in everything that you do. Here's Dr. Dimple Jangra signing off.